Good morning and welcome to the KGNC Golden Spread Agribusiness News Hour. Really excited today. I get to talk to one of my favorite people to speak with. We talk Texas corn each and every Friday. Today we're lucky enough to have Mr. David Gibson, the executive director of the TCP. Very important stuff going on across the nation, especially here in Texas, with implications far-reaching. Mr. Gibson, welcome to the show.
Yeah, good morning, David, and it's great to be with you today.
Well, the first thing we've got to look at, you know, the phases of the season, and you guys in corn are hitting a key planting season. We're running up to that. Have you been out in the field? How are things looking? What are you hearing from producers?
Well, where we're at right now here on the High Plains is just the very beginning of corn planting. I expect next week we'll get fully underway with early plantings, and as we've talked some in the past, our plantings, our corn plantings here on the High Plains are kind of staggered from starting here late April, early May, all the way through some plantings in June, and part of that's irrigation water management, and as we bring up irrigation water management and water in general, we've got to think about how severe our drought is right now across the whole panhandle area. These temperatures the last few days being up in the 90s and near record high temperatures, running with these extremely dry winds that we've had, has just certainly completed depleting an already very low soil moisture levels that we started came through the year with to this point. And that's certainly impacting growers' intentions or farmers on what they're going to be planting on their farms this year. I'm hearing more from our growers of corn that they're probably going to reduce some acres just due to this extreme dry weather and the fact that a projected dry summer and that's we're seeing some proposed acreage in, decreases just to be able to manage the irrigation water and grow crops that will be beneficial and make some production rather than spreading it so thin we can't do a good job with anything. So I don't want to sound a bit depressing. It's just the reality as we're dealing with these extreme dry conditions that we're having here, David, and that right in line with some really good prices, potential prices for our commodity, but you know, we've got to make sure we can grow a crop, and that's going to ensure real good water management for this season, and probably going to lead us to some reduction in acreage planted.
Wow. Well, wow. The key word you could probably say for 2022, we've heard this repeatedly in every agricultural sector, input cost. Having to irrigate fields, is that another bone in the pile of input costs that have been weighing down producers over the last 6 months?
Well, exactly. You know, natural gas is a component that runs a lot of our irrigation motors sitting over those pumps. It has been very volatile and been increasing in price. The natural gas affects the electricity cost in a lot of cases. So whether they're running electric wells or wells powered off of natural gas motors, we're still being in the natural gas is a big impact on what our production costs are going to be with irrigation because we're seeing electric costs go up just as much as we're seeing other fuel that we use. And in this case, for irrigation, electricity is the fuel for those electric motors. And when we look at the prices of diesel and every other petroleum product we use on our farm, it's no different than the consumers going down to buy the fuel it takes to drive to work every day. It's just taking a big bite out of the budget on the farm or the budget in the household.
Yeah, that's the veritable sometimes or what gets you. And you spoke briefly there about the cutting down on acreage. The USDA is saying in some places 4% back of what we did in 2021. Hasn't the acreage been climbing, though, over the last 3 to 4 years? Were you guys on an increase, or is this part of par for the course here lately?
This is, if we talk a national basis, we've seen some national acreage increases. For us in Texas, we've been real static and probably been seeing slight decreases each year already on the high plains as we've managed our water. We're dependent on irrigation to grow a good economical return from our cornfields. So we've seen some minor declines, but already in acreages over the past few years for our region here on the High Plains. And I'm just expecting, from what I'm hearing from growers, we're going to see, I'm not going to say a large acreage decrease, but larger than what we've been seeing as we're managing the drought, managing our irrigation water for these farms. The other thing we're looking at is, we've talked about this over and over, the prices of seed have gone up, price of fertilizers, we've seen exponential increases there. It's just, when we get to that, the other thing we're seeing is being sure we're not planting more acres than we can get crop protection chemicals for. We're seeing so much of this total supply chain issue from fuel to fertilizer to seeds to crop protection chemicals and even to parts for our equipment. I'll relate. Well, car I drive to work, we had a piece go out on it, and it took 4 weeks to get that part in to fix the car. Well, I had a backup way to ride, but if that had been my tractor, and we have people that have this problem, have a part go to have something malfunction, and it's taken 3 to 4 to 6 weeks to get those parts in, we're past planting time.
Yeah.
And that's a real critical thing that we're dealing with also, is just having adequate repairs when we need them and timely. And so the total supply chain issue is a big factor out on our farms as we're starting this crop. I was in a meeting on Thursday, and we had Jody Arrington had several legislators from around the country in, and we were talking with them about issues. Well, the big issue that came up there in Lubbock that morning would be the same as if we were setting in Amarillo is, we can look at the price of corn and sorghum and wheat and cotton, but in this year, the way we're set up, we're not going to grow anything to sell into those prices. Well, we're going to grow less than what we traditionally would as we just better utilize our irrigation water, and that's in turn going to really, put a big impact on all our farmers. Every business builds a business model, and they're going to sell, in our case, so many bushels of corn, or in some other deal, they're going to sell so many new cars. And when you can't produce them and grow them, that's messed up your whole business model for your farm. And that's where that's just the critical thing that came up in their discussion. And here is, they said, what's a big issue for today? That's it. Looking at this picture of how we're going to sustain our businesses by having less to sell into, even though we've got good prices, it's still not going to be a banner year in any way at this time for most of our growers.
And that was the assumption with the war going on in Ukraine with Russia. They grew a lot of corn in that part of the world, and they thought, well, okay, America can step in and fill that gap. But if you can't even get the seed in the ground because your tractor's not working, or even worse yet, I've heard issues of trucking, getting it to market. There's not enough truckers out there working the roads. And so the cost of getting your product to market has gone up as they search for more truckers and more trucks and the price of fuel. It's been a double-edged sword in 2022 for producers.
It's been a real interesting year. We start off, you know, going back to the last fall after we completed harvest, seeing the first run-ups in fertilizer prices, which we spent a lot of time talking about and did some research and come up with some facts and know that, you know, we've got one company that basically controls about 60% of the nitrogen market and 180% of the phosphate market. And I was relating that to natural gas increases, which turned in natural gas hadn't gone up like it has now.
Wow.
And now we've still got those fertilizer prices going up more because part of that's in turn of some of it comes from Russia, some comes from Ukraine, and that supply's been disrupted. On top of the fact that we are seeing a lot of other things go up. So, you know, it's been a very complicated year for our farmers as they look at our inputs versus what we hope we can grow, and now we're throwing in an extreme dry situation and projected drought through the summer. It's going to be a real challenge for our farmers, and you know, and the other side is, as we look around, that's for our ranchers out there across the High Plains too, because with these high winds and fires and everything else we've had, just really increases the issues that our farmers and ranchers are facing today.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword. I spoke with Dr. Welch a couple of weeks ago, The Economist, and we talked about the E15 waiver that President Biden went ahead and pushed through to go ahead and allow, which President Trump got rid of that issue with the E15 waiver and said, yeah, we're going to use it. And then, of course, they reversed that. What Mr. Welch spoke to on the fact was, some people, especially some in the market, thought, well, this will be a boom for those corn growers. But like we're talking, Mr. Gibson, we don't have the product to do it. So it's not even going to be an issue of supplying it or getting any kind of extra income out of the use. If you can't get it, you know, it's tough, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I think the E15 waiver is something that's very beneficial, you know, to us for this year in the corn realm. And whenever we talk about E15, the ethanol situation, you've got to look at that on a national basis. Yeah. And we've got some parts of the U.S. projecting to have really good crops, and that's becomes part of the issues that we address as we represent our growers. We're not necessarily on that good crop projection like some other states, but just on a long-term basis, if we maintain the E15 waiver and things like that, that helps keep a better price basis out there for our crops as we move forward into coming years.
Yeah.
So it's got some good benefits. There's a lot of legislation pending. It's been drawn up, and we're working on getting sponsors for bills that would help maintain that ability to use the E15 or maybe even higher blends in going into the future, which would be very beneficial, which we've talked a lot about that in the past. You know, liquid fuels are important, and for Texas, liquid fuels includes all our petroleum as well as ethanol, and we like to talk about it in that light. So we're very much into that discussion and working on it.
You talk about legislation, and there's something coming down the road that you guys, the Texas corn producers, are very interested in. Most producers are. Anybody who touches ag in any way, we're on the cusp of a new farm bill. It's time to start thinking about what it's going to look like, what it's going to do. And Texas corn wants to hear from people out there. I love the slogan on your website, get involved, be heard, and affect change. You guys are setting up a survey for this bill, correct?
That's right. We've just sent out an e-news to our members that has a link to a Farm Bill survey that we've worked up collectively amongst our board members. That link is in our e-news. We have a link to it on our website at www.texascorn.org. And we encourage all corn farmers, we're surveying corn farmers to get corn farmers' opinions. It covers things from Title I programs, the ARC PLC, or how's that work for you, or what changes, some components of it would be important to you. We get questions on crop insurance. We get questions on there for conservation practices. Just a full gamut of questions. It should take about 10 minutes for our growers to answer those questions. They're very general, but will be very helpful with us as we work to develop policies that we'll be advocating for on behalf of our Texas corn farmers. And I know a lot of commodities are in the same process, getting information from the folks that grow the crops to identify issues. And we just want to encourage all of those that grow corn here in Texas to respond to our survey and give us that input. And we're going to put it to good use as we sat down with our legislative members. We're already started that process, just as I mentioned earlier, with the group that was here in Lubbock this week. There's a deal in Amarillo later today where some members are going to be present at the vet school, and then we're going to have a roundtable to discuss some of these current issues with some of the congressional members that'll be in Amarillo on Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
And then we'll be doing that all through this coming up spring, summer, fall. So we want to know what's working, what's not working, and help us be better advocates for our farmers.
To give everybody out there a clear picture, groups like Texas Corn, this isn't a run-up event. You do this all year long. You kind of take the pulse of what the industry is seeing, what works for you, what doesn't work for you, in anticipation of going to legislators in Texas and in D.C. to get what our producers need.
That's right, James. We work year-round, every year on policy issues. Some are state issues, some are federal, some are both. And we just want the input from our members to be sure what we're saying is reflective of what our members want. On a state level, we do spend a lot of time for here on the High Plains, things that come out of the state on groundwater issues. There's things that fit the High Plains. There's things that fit the coastal bends, things that for the Rio Grande Valley, things for some other places. And being the statewide agency, we take all of those different topics and try to make sure we have laws that fit our area. And that's what we do with this Farm Bill discussion, for example. We want to be sure we've got the right Title I programs, ARC PLC. We want to be sure we've got the right crop insurance programs available. We want to be sure that our conservation programs fit and model into what works in our area. One size shoe doesn't fit everyone, and that's the same for policy.
Yeah.
And we're challenged with the task of making a policy we advocate for that'll fit different regions of Texas, but we want to be sure it fits on our farms.
Yeah,
and we want input from our growers to be sure that's where we are at.
Yeah, that'll be today. Of course, you did mention the veterinary school here, the Texas Tech Health Sciences Veterinary School. They're cutting the ribbon on that new facility. We'll have, I believe, the governor's going to be in town. Congressman Jackson's going to be here. And so that's going to be a really good conversation when you sit down with that roundtable to just let them know, put the flag up about what's happening right here in West Texas when it comes to those producers. And so very important mission for Texas Corn.
Right. And a lot of activities coming up, James.
Yeah, it's a ton of stuff on the way. We're getting closer and closer to planting season. If we could just get a little rain, boy, we'd all be a lot happier around here.
You know, we've all got in our minds, you know, last year we were real dry at this same time of year.
Yeah.
Come up, had some good beneficial rains and got our crops in the ground and run out of water at the end of the season and didn't make the crops we looked better than we thought we were going to be, and then we turned out we weren't as good as it looked, which, you know, if you've been a farmer ever before or some of your family, you understand that's kind of a typical situation. But the farmer is an eternal optimist. Things are always going to be better, and that's the way we have to run our operations and make our plans as we go into this year.
I think it was Paul Harvey who said, God bless the farmer. You know, because if there's no farmer, there's no America. You can believe that.
That's right.
Texas Corn Producers, texascorn.org. Get to that survey. Let your voice be heard. My grandmother used to say, a closed mouth don't get fed. So if you want to affect policy, you want to affect change, that's what Texas Corn does. They are that conduit between the state house and the farmhouse. Get involved, be heard, and affect change. Mr. Gibson, as always, it's a great pleasure to speak with you, and maybe we'll see you today here later at the vet school and have a conversation, but best of luck, be careful, and we'll see you next time.
All right. Thank you very much, David, and have a great weekend.
You too, sir.